गीता 1.23 योत्स्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं ययेते अत्र समागतः धार्तराष्ट्रस्य दुर्बुद्धेर् युद्धे प्रियचिकीर्षवः। सो हियर अर्जुना इज एलैबोरेटिंग ऑन हिज रिक्वेस्ट टू कृष्णा टू प्लेस हिज चैरियट between the two armies, and this request, which began in 1.21, continued to through 22, will conclude in 23. So he's saying yotsyamanan, though yuddha is fighting, yotsyamanan is those who will be fighting, yotsyamanan avekshaham, I want to see those who will be fighting, avekshe, let me see, I want to see, ya ete atra samagataha, those who have assembled here, samagataha, those who have assembled here, dhartarashtrasya durbuddher, that dhartarashtrasya, the sons of Dhritarashtra. So now they are durbuddhir, especially Duryodhana was very evil minded. So durbuddhir means buddhi is there, intelligence is there, but durbuddhir, its intelligence is misdirected. Yuddhe priyachikirshavaha. So yuddhe, for the sake of fighting, priyachikirshavaha, those who are desiring his good, those who have acted as his well-wishers and have decided to fight on his side, I want to see them. So, we know that the Pandavas' cause was clearly righteous. They had earned the kingdom by their own virtue. First of all, the kingdom was theirs because Pandu had been the king, and the kingdom would have gone to their sons, Pandavas. But then, because the Pandavas were thought to have been burned in the Varanavat fire, the kingdom came to the Kauravas. Dhritarashtra continued to rule, and Duryodhana became like the unofficial ruler, doing whatever he wanted without ever being stopped by the weak-minded Dhritarashtra. And thereafter, when the Pandavas got married to Draupadi, then Dhritarashtra called them back, recognizing that they were allied with the powerful Draupadana. And he gave them half the kingdom. Although he gave them half, it was actually just a barren half, the Khandavaprastha. So the Pandavas, by their virtue, converted that into Indraprastha, magnificent flourishing kingdom. And when, by using their military forces, they actually subdued the kings all over the world and performed the Rajasu Yajna. So Yudhishthira was like acknowledged the emperor of the whole world. So all this they had done by their skill and their virtue. And the Kauravas unfairly, viciously deprived them of their entire kingdom. And how was Duryodhana durbuddhir? Duryodhana never gave up the greed which had caused him to be envious of the Pandavas. The Pandavas are so gracious that although Duryodhana had tried to assassinate them several times, still the Pandavas were ready to live peacefully. But Duryodhana was not ready to settle with, to leave good things as they were. You know, actually, because Yudhishthira was older to him and because Pandu had been the king, so it would have been expected that Yudhishthira would become the king and Duryodhana would be no more than just a member of the royal family. But Duryodhana had got half the kingdom and he should have been satisfied with that. But durbuddhir, he was so foolish at one level, evil at another level. Foolish is one who doesn't know what is the right thing to do and acts in a stupid way. Sometimes foolish things are also harmful, but often foolish things are just done out of ignorance, because they don't know better. Whereas evil people do wrong things knowing that they are wrong and knowing that they will hurt others. Still they do it because their selfish desires are so dear to them that they are ready to do anything to fulfill those selfish desires. Now, in the case of Duryodhana, he was that kind of Durbuddhir. So he deliberately organized a whole conspiracy in which Yudhishthira was allured to gamble and was caused to lose everything. And as if that, a loss of everything was not bad enough, Duryodhana viciously insulted and dishonored the Pandava's wife, Draupadi. So, there could be no doubt about the fact that the Kauravas, especially Duryodhana, was Durbuddhir. And even while the Pandavas were in the forest, many sages counseled Duryodhana to seek peace. Either by giving the kingdom back to the Kauravas, giving their kingdom back to the Pandavas, or at least after the Pandavas had completed their period of exile, to give them the kingdom back at that time at least. But Duryodhana stubbornly and stupidly and superciliously means arrogantly, refused to heed any good counsel. Even Krishna's counsel he rejected. So he was Durbuddhir. And when he was so stupid, so malicious, so evil, so it was a matter of surprise that so many kings allied with him. We know that Duryodhana had 11 Akshahunis, where the Pandavas, through their allies, got 7 Akshahunis. That means kings who were the commanders of substantial forces. The 11 Akshahunis did not come just from Duryodhana's own kingdom, from his army. Most of it came from other kings. And the fact that so many kings allied with the evil Duryodhana itself was surprising. And the reasons for this were many. First of all, Duryodhana was an excellent spin doctor. You know, he could twist a story around and he could even make himself seem like not a victimizer, but just a bystander. And the Pandavas had brought the grief upon themselves. So, at Balramji also, initially when the Pandavas were in renunciate's robes and Balram saw them, he was furious. But when they exiled, and he said that he was very angry with the Kauravas for the way they had insulted the Pandavas. But again after that, towards the end of the war of exile, when the Pandavas met the Vyadavas, Krishna and Balram, so at that time Balram urged the Pandavas to exercise caution. And he said, it had been your fault that you lost the kingdom. You can't blame the Kauravas for that. At one level, of course, Balram is the supreme lord and his activities are transcendental. But at another level, Duryodhana had told his own version of the story. And he had influenced many people by that. So first is, he was a good spin doctor by which he spun himself a good yarn. A yarn which depicted him in good light. Further, he also was in power. And he had the state resources with him, the state's prestige with him, and many of the allies, some of the allies allied with him not because of the cause that he was fighting for, but because they were like-minded. Some kings were evil and they wanted someone evil to be in charge, to be at the helm of world affairs so that they could continue their evil activities. But beyond that, there were many who were obliged.
It's like Bhishma, Drona, Bahalika, Bhurishra, Bahalika especially. They were all obliged to fight. Bahalika was the stepbrother of Bhishma, and he too, like Bhishma, had been obliged to protect the ruling dynasty of the Kuru kingdom. So
Arjuna is saying over here, you know, does Duryodhana have so many well-wishers? Duryodhana that I know of is so cruel. So why would anyone have well-wishers like this? And I want to see who are the people who are ready to fight with him. And how determined are they to fight? So for example, Arjuna could not still digest the fact, and he will express his apprehension later, second chapter, and he says, how will I fight with my grandsire? How will I fight with my teacher, martial teacher, Drona or Bhishma? It seems impossible to me. I can't fight like this. So, of course, he knew as a Kshatriya duty, he would have to fight. But he did not feel much fighting spirit, especially when it came to fighting with his elders, worshipable elders. And here he is asking that, what about those warriors? Have they also come here? Or they are elsewhere? So, he is about to start the war, and he wants to see to what extent this conflict between family will go. And that's why he wants to see, okay, how much fighting spirit do these warriors have? And he asks Arjuna, Arjuna asks Krishna, please let me see who is there on that side. Thank you.